Good evening. So glad to have you aboard. Welcome to American Hit Radio. I'm Tom Ryan. I hope you know that by now. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well. I hope you know that too. We do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. On Wednesdays, we've been working our way through a pair of countdowns. Top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40, which is 500 albums that never quite got that high on the charts. We started in January of 1964, and presently we have worked our way up to September 1970 as we move through the lists chronologically. And today we hit an album that is going to be very interesting, I hope, to our listening audience. It is from the top 500 of the top 40. In fact, this is album number 107 on that list. So we are moving along at a nice clip into the future, as you can see, or toward the present anyway. And released in 1970, the album is the first solo album by Curtis Mayfield, entitled very simply Curtis. It reached number 19 on the pop charts, but it was number one R&B. And that's why I think this album is going to be very interesting for a lot of people who listen to our show, because it really depends on who you are or where you were in, say, the 60s and the 70s, or if you were born afterward, if you had any interest in the history of that era. Because if you were an urban minority, if you lived in one of the cities of the United States, and you were a minority, it would have been impossible for you to ignore the importance of Curtis Mayfield. He was just huge in that market. But if you happen to be, say, a white suburbanite, it's very possible that you really never heard much other than his hits from the Superfly soundtrack. Now, undeniably, that's an excellent album, but it cannot convey the vast reach of Mayfield's talents and his influence on culture. Mayfield was among the first pop artists to use his talents as a means for commentary about social injustice, which unfortunately provides an explanation for the imbalance in his acknowledged recognition as a figurehead in American music culture. People who were not very necessarily, you know, aware of urban culture would not have really necessarily taken to Curtis's message, which is a shame. Way before Superfly, Mayfield wrote hit songs for The Impressions, most of which skyrocketed on the soul charts, but performed fair to middling on the American pop charts. This early era of his career would have been enough to assure his importance to urban soul music, but it was his solo career that started to expand his reputation, even while he began to ramp up the socio-political aspect of his work. Mayfield was a thinker who made the listener think as hard as he did. And in retrospect, I believe that he made a difference in many people's assumptions about race relations. So, Curtis, as I said, was the name of his debut solo album, convinced, like many artists in 1970, that it was time to leave the vocal group thing, which seemed a bit old school, and to pursue something maybe a bit more hip. And as a solo, as a person who was actually a songwriter when songwriting was rare in the whole R&B, a lot of R&B singers were very often performing material that was supplied to them. Curtis Mayfield is one of the few who wrote his own songs and, in fact, supplied material to others. He was running the OK label, which I believe was a subsidiary of Columbia, and in his role there as one of the producers for that label, he was supplying material to a whole bunch of different performers, people like Gene Chandler, Major Lance, and Jerry Butler. So he's a well-known songwriter. So here he is, though, reaching out on his first album, and he immediately gets political. The first song to be released from the album is really about him just confronting the harshness of ghetto life. And he wants the world to know. He doesn't need to be talking to the audience that already knows this, which is why it was a beautiful thing that the album did chart as high as it did on the pop charts. But it's important, like I said, to keep this type of thinking alive, because all too often it gets stratified along cultural lines. And I'm hoping that you'll stick with us for this hour as we play our way through the album, Curtis. And we'll open it up with this song, the single from the album called Don't Worry If There's a Hell Below, We're All Gonna Go. 90.3 WHPC.
Last night I was so depressed, and I went and got the Bible, and I turned to the Book of Revelation. And if people would just get read the Bible and read the Book of Revelation, they would really turn around and straighten up. This is all we need to do, is just get the good book and read it, put it to everyday life.
Sisters! Niggas! Whiteys! Jews! Crackers! Don't worry. If there's hell below, we're all gonna go!
Thank you.
Track from the album Curtis Mayfield's first solo album, and he comes out of the gate startling the listener. I didn't want to edit that because it seemed to me grossly unfair to have to say bleep one word and none of the others.
Yeah, it's relevant to the times.
Exactly. I felt, and that's the other thing. This is 1970, when dropping the N-word on a record was kind of rough. Especially the way that Curtis did it, because it was essentially like, wake up, people, and basically saying this across a broad spectrum, and then making the point that with things being the way that they are and as unfair as they are, it doesn't really matter who you are. If there's a hell below, you all earned a spot. And it was a dark message, but it was intense. And he did this with this orchestration on the track. It's a great melody. The rhythm carries it. The song went to number 29 on the pop charts. It was a pop hit. Number 3 on the R&B charts as a single. Well, mostly because people didn't have to buy the single as much, because the album was number 1 for 5 weeks on the R&B charts. It was a huge hit in that market. And like I said, the type of thing that I think it took much longer for it to basically cross into the suburban market, because people just weren't listening, weren't caring, and they weren't hearing it on their radio stations, the rock stations. Music was pretty stratified. Just the fact that we had a pop chart and an R&B chart. It's like saying, well, the white artists go here and the black artists go here.
Mm-hmm. And segregated.
It was a form of segregation in the terms that we were rating music even. And Curtis was really confronting that directly head on. And this album managed to cross that line without any compromise, which is why I love it. Next track up on the album is this song called The Other Side of Town on 90.3 WHPC.
Thank you. I'm from the other side of town, out of bounds to anybody who don't live around. I never learned to share or how to care. I never had no teachings about being fair. Depression is part of my mind. The sun never shines on the other side of town. The need here is always for more. There's nothing good in store on the other side of town. It's hard to do right in this filthy night. Just plain simple comfort is completely out of sight. My little sister, she hungry for bread to eat. My brother's hand-me-down shoes is now showing his feet. Ghetto blues shown on the news. All is well, but what the hell do they care? You across the track, completely relaxed. You take a warning fact, don't you never come back. I'm from the other side of town, out of bounds to anybody who don't live around. I never learned to share or how to care. I never had no teachings about being fair. Depression is part of my mind. The sun never shines on the other side of town. The need here is always for more. There's nothing good in store on the other side of town. Oh, babe, it's hard to do right, you know, on the other side of town. This depression really got a hold on.
Curtis Mayfield singing about the haves and the have-nots, how there was a line drawn down the middle. All Music Guide has quite an interesting, I mean, it's a contemporary view because they didn't write this when it came out. So they have the advantage of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying that this album, when it came out, it was practically the Sgt. Pepper's album of 70s soul. I think it's pretty remarkable, talking about its influence on the culture of the people who it was aimed at.
I thought it was more of a modernization of Porgy and Bess.
Yeah, that's pretty brilliant. I definitely could see that. That's I like your analogy even better than what All Music Guide said. But if you can contemporize that and talk about, you know, the ramifications of the way that society has, you know, has stratified culture. But the whole album, there are some songs which are less strident. This next one is one of them. It's called The Makings of You on 90.3 WHPC.
Suckle in a great big expression of happiness. Boy, you couldn't miss with a dozen roses much would astound you. The joy of children laughing around you. These are the makings of you. It is true, the makings of you. The righteous way to go, little one would know or believe if I told them so. You're second to none, the love of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, reciting the makings of you. Righteous way to go, little one would know or believe if I told them so. You're second to none, the love of all mankind should reflect some sign of these words I've tried to recite. They are close but not quite, almost impossible to do, reciting the makings of you.
Makings of You, Curtis Mayfield, from the album Curtis, released in September, of 1970, number 19 on the pop charts, and to this day, very much a cultural milestone, this album. And I think there's still a lot of people that, you know, could benefit from hearing it, which is why I'm really happy to be playing the album in its entirety today. Curtis has got that astounding falsetto voice that is just so unlike anything anybody else was doing. He got that from when he was, well, he sang like that his whole life pretty much. When he was in the Impressions, it was a trio and it was his job to be on top. So that brought out the falsetto. Jerry Butler left that group very early because he sang the lead on their first hit, For Your Precious Love. If any song is going to give you goosebumps, that's one that would. But after that song became so famous, Jerry started his solo career, and Curtis supported him, stayed with him until the Impressions were ready to make their next album and got their own, you know, their own act back together. But here is Curtis basically singing on his own with that same incredible falsetto and this cool orchestral sound that he's got all over this record, strings and horns all over the place, and harps, a lot of harps on this
rare,
album.
Rare, very right. Rare.
But back to the subject matter at hand on the album. This song takes us immediately back to what's primarily on Curtis's mind on this record. This song is called We the People Who Are Darker Than Blue on 90.3 WHPC.
We people who are darker than blue, are we gonna stand around this town and let what others say come true? We're just good for nothing, they all figure a boy's grown up shiftless jigger. Now we can't hardly stand for that, or is that really where it's at? We people who are darker than blue, this ain't no time for segregating. I'm talking about brown and yellow too. Hi, yellow girl, can you tell? You're just the surface of our dark deep well. If your mind could really see, you'd know your color is same as me. Pardon me, brother, as you stand in your glory. I know you won't mind if I tell the whole story.
While you stand in your glory, I know you won't mind.
if I tell the whole story. Pardon me, brother, I know we've come a long, long way, but let us not be so satisfied, for tomorrow can be an even brighter day.
Man, this album, it has grown on me. And like I said, it was pretty much invisible to me when I was a kid. Wasn't hearing it. But boy, when I, you know, it's one of those things that starts appearing on lists years later. People, you mentioned it. And I'm always like fond of, if I see an album that's on somebody's favorites list and I don't know it, I immediately want to look it up and hear it just to familiarize myself. And this is one that sort of jumped on me. Like, wow. And I've been loving it now for decades, and I still think it's incredible. Don't forget, this album came out a full year before Marvin Gaye released Inner City Blues. That whole album didn't.
Wow.
That was, it took a year and then some to get to that point. So this is really early. Stevie Wonder's Living for the City. That's 3 years in the future. Right?
Oh, he's so ahead of the curve.
Right. So perspective is everything here. All right. The next song is the song that did get some airplay on Crossover Radio, probably the only song on the album that I knew at the time, and I still love it.
It's glorious.
This track has been covered by a couple of people. I think Paul Weller did a version of this song.
Yeah.
Here's the full-length version of Move On Up from the album Curtis on 90.3 WHPC.
Hush now, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination, though you may find from time to time complications. And take the trip, though there may be wet road ahead and you cannot slip. Just move on up, for peace you'll find. Into the steeple of beautiful people, where there's only one kind. So hush not, child, and don't. So keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not obey rumors people say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it. Just move on.
Now, when you have a groove that's that good, you just got to let it go.
If that doesn't make your ride home better today, nothing will.
Yeah, you're welcome. Playing the album Curtis by Curtis Mayfield, and it feels good, really feels good, because I don't think this gets heard too much. You know what? That was released as a single here in America, and it didn't even chart. Zero.
Wow.
It didn't chart at all.
That's incredible.
Is that terrible? Now, it was released in the UK, and there it went to number 12, which would explain why Paul Weller would have known it.
Yeah.
Because it was a pretty big hit for some reason in the UK.
You like a lot of soul stuff.
Yeah, but didn't work here in the States at all, which is nuts because it's such a strong rhythm.
The mods were into it.
Right. Now, there's a lot of revisionist history, too, because a lot of critics back then were saying some pretty bad things when the record came out. Like Rolling Stone, this is quotes, called the album...
They panned it.
Oh, yeah. Fragmentary, garbled, and frustrating to listen to. What album is that?
That guy never got out much, did he?
Really, the lyrics were called haphazardly written and mealy-mouthed.
Robert that guy had his stick up somewhere.
Really, it's not even logical. This is a well-focused album. It's a well-produced album.
Absolutely.
The words are
a signpost for the time.
Right, and he's going somewhere that nobody, he's breaking new ground.
Absolutely.
Lyrically on this. This is why I think it was a bit of a segregationist mentality that was on this. The mainstream press was, all these are white rock guys. And they just didn't get what Curtis was up to. Robert Christgau, who I often do disagree with, but he's a very smart man. And he said that the album, his quote was that the album is, quote, essentially middle class guides to black pride, unquote. And I'm like, whoa. Where are you coming from? And though he did go on to say that perhaps, his opinion had a lot to do with cultural relativism, which is my point. Right. If you're not part of what Curtis Mayfield is directing his message to, then maybe you ought to be careful about what you've got to say about it. Nearly every single one of these people, by the way, came back and revisited the album and rated it highly. If you look it up in Rolling Stone, it's rated 4.5 stars now. Right? Robert Christgau came back and said that the album song for song is even stronger than Superfly. So everybody changed their minds after, as time passed. But it wasn't that way in its time. We still had a long way to go.
He had to eat his own words.
Really, still had a long way to go. All right, let's play next track up. Again, getting straight to the point. This song is called Miss Black America on 90.3 WHPC.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, baby. How's my love child?
Fine.
Tell me, of all your dreams, what most do you hope to be when you become a big girl?
Daddy, I would like to be Miss Black America.
Herringly stepping so proud, Mother Nature's only godchild. Society salutes you today, and we'd like to say, God bless Miss Black America. Watch over Miss Black America. She cried tears of success. We wish her long happiness.
Miss Black America.
Sisters, we're all so very proud of that natural look we see among the crowd. Worldwide admiration from nation to nation. They love you, Miss Black America. We love you too, Miss Black America. You're such wonderful people and so beautifully equal.
Miss Black America.
A culture
no one can deny. If a young child should ask, then tell them why. They should not be ashamed of their past. Just explain the true mother is Black America. None other than Miss Black America. She cried tears of success. We wish her long happiness.
Miss Black America.
Miss Black America. We're so proud of you.
Miss Black.
To the people, respect for the steeple. I mean, respect church. Of course. Well, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, because I don't think this album gets enough attention, and it still sounds great. The album is called Curtis. It's Curtis Mayfield's first debut album, released in September of 1970. And we've got one song left to play it in its entirety. Such a shame, because Curtis stayed active well into the 80s. In fact, he was active on August 14th, 1990. He was putting on a show in Brooklyn. I remember this day when it happened. And he was doing a sound check. The lighting rig above the stage collapsed and it landed on him and it paralyzed him. And that was, of course, that pretty much ended his performing career, which is so sad for a person who was so vital. And it was about 10 years later when he passed away at the age of 57. A sad ending for somebody who was so inspirational in the 70s. If you do stay tuned, by the way, speaking of the 70s, Zach Turkel's coming up following our show with his Top 40 Countdown. This time he'll be featuring hits from this very date in 1973. So you can jump forward 3 years from where Curtis is. Maybe you'll even hear with that Stevie Wonder song that I was talking about that came out 3 years after Curtis. We'll see what Zach has in store for us. All right, then. Here's the last track from the album, Curtis. I want to thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And, of course, Heidi and I will be back here on Friday when we cover, continue our coverage of The Who. And, of course, back to albums on Wednesday. So take care. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you then. 90.3 WHPC. This track is called Give It Up.
It is my theory, the two of us are somewhat leery about the happiness we both set out to possess. We've got all the comforts of life, a few kids and you are my wife. And to tell it like it is, I must confess, I'm gonna have to give it up. That never happened with us. The warmth of embraces and the love of our faces. It never happened, you see. And I'm so sorry. I really truly love you and the kids, you must agree. And I never had too much concern or interest in astrology. But as I read, it must be so, the invulnerable word incompatible. No matter how much we try, our indifference would still show. Now we've got to give it up. Happened with us, the warmth of embraces and the love of our faces. It never happened, you see. And I'm so sorry. Now we've got to give it up. Ooh, child, I got to give it up. Lord have mercy. That never happened with us. The warmth of embraces and the love of our faces. It never happened, you see. And I'm so sorry, but now we've got to give it up. What am I to do? Child, we've got to give it up. I'll be so lonely without you.
This hour of programming on